Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show! It's coming in on the night. We're running away, we're running tonight. Impossible comes true, it's taking over you. This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. With your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 342, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Michael?
How you doing, Pods?
Good. I don't like the video interaction, because most people still only listen.
Right.
They don't see what's going on, but maybe they should go to our YouTube page.
You don't like it when I just glare at you?
Especially when the intro's playing, you're just doing it. Go to our YouTube page.
Oh, you can see me during the intro?
Yeah, you're down on the bottom. I can see it. YouTube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates. We put up our episodes usually about a week after the podcast drops, right?
Yeah, I've got a few backlog that I haven't put up.
So check it out there, as among other things, you did your drive to Vero Beach.
Did you watch that?
I did. I liked.
Did you enjoy it? Music.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You like how it came out?
Yeah, I mean it's
interesting. It's something you would watch something like that if it wasn't.
Absolutely,
you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What else is new, sir?
Not much. Apparently, you played golf today.
I did. I played at Metacomet Country Club. A Donald Ross design, 1901.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it's closing on the 30th.
Was that just dropped on you?
No, apparently it had been known for a while. I didn't realize it, but I was I kept looking every weekend to find a tee time. Like, nothing good. Nothing really jumped out. And then I was looking on the Providence Journal's website, and they had an article about the last caddy at Metacomet. Like, they wrote an article about this guy. He takes the bus from his apartment in Central Falls and goes to Metacomet, and he does, like, loops Wednesday through Sunday.
Bet he's so happy.
That it's closing?
No, I bet. Just that gig, that life.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It sounded like a pretty lousy life. He lives in, like, a boarding house with, like, 22 other guys. They share, like, a bathroom.
Still not bad.
you would take that?
Yeah, I'd probably sign up. Looping a few days a week, yeah.
That's true. Anyway, so I saw that, and they said it's closing on September 30th. I was like, oh, no. So I looked for tee times. I kept looking. I couldn't find anything. I talked to Frank. I said, you want to play Metacomet if we can get a tee time? He's like, sure, I'll play. He had played with Michael earlier this year, so he wasn't, like, dying to play. But he said, oh, yeah, I'll play with you. And then I looked. The only thing I could get was, like, 3:30 for two people. And he's
like,
what time
is your sunset?
6:30. He's like, we won't finish. It's not worth it to go and not be able to play 18. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I was at work this morning, and I just looked at the website, and there was a spot for one at 2:20. I was like, you know what? I'm just doing it. I don't care. I'm just going to go.
Do you have the sticks in your car just in case you have to do it?
I did, but I didn't have the clothes. I didn't have a collared shirt with me.
Yeah. Like, you probably can't wear the John Deere outfit.
Yeah.
It
wouldn't
have
been good. I actually wore a t-shirt today to work, so that wouldn't have worked out. So I just, 2:20 gave me enough time to go home and change and get over to the course. I got there early, putted around. The greens were like glass, Bill.
Do they have a driving range or practice facility?
Nothing.
None, huh?
Nothing. So I got out there,
Were they snipping at, Pods? Did you inquire at the pro shop?
No, I did not ask, but I would have guessed probably a good 11 to 12. Mm. They were fast, very fast. But it's nice. It's a really nice, it's a Donald Ross. All the greens, false fronts on all of them, elevated greens, a lot of blind shots, shot making, Bill. It's all about shot making. A lot of blind shots. Every tee shot, you couldn't see the green from any tees.
Ah, that's on any of the
par fours or
five. Very interesting. Blind.
Whether it was a dog leg or a elevated tee or down, you know, just every shot, every tee shot was blind, except for the par threes, which made it interesting, especially not having been out there before. But I hit it okay.
Classic Donald Ross, where you have to hit every club in your bag. The par threes probably ranged from hitting a hybrid to a short iron.
Yeah, the first par three was like 150. Then there was another one that was like 170 downhill. Then there was one that was 210 and one that was 230.
Yeah.
So, and that 230 was like downhill. So you didn't have to hit a three wood. You could still hit your hybrid and everything. But yeah, even the par, there was some shorter par fours where you, if you hit a nice drive, you'd have a wedge, or you could, there was some that you had to lay up short, take an iron off the tee and, you know, hit an eight iron in. Risk reward, shot making. You had to know which side of the fairways to hit, which part of the greens to hit. It's the kind of place that if you play there four or five times, you would start figuring it out. And I think you could get good there. It wasn't.
So it would be a good place to be a member, is what
I would think so. Yeah. It seems like a really nice course to play over and over again. Nice track. I liked it. No stupid holes. You know how sometimes there's like the stupid hole? You're like, what is this thing doing out here?
Yeah.
None of those. Only two par fives, and they're both on the front. So it's like 36, 34.
Huh.
Which is a little strange.
That is strange.
And the par, like, you, number 10 is a par three, and number 12 is a par three, and then it's all par fours after that.
And you can bombs away and find your ball?
Oh, yeah. It's just like every hole, they're all, you're on top of every.
Right. Like,
you could see holes from everywhere. Right. Hard to lose a ball out there. A couple water shots, but other than that, hard to lose a ball.
You didn't hit any houses or anything?
No, I did hit this giant, like, electrical tower, though.
Tell me about that.
On, like, on 16, I think it was, I pushed my tee shot out to the right over onto the fairway, the previous fairway. I was along the trees. And there's this like giant white like electrical tower. It's probably like 4 foot in diameter. It went up probably 40 feet in the air. And the way where I was going to go over some trees. The green was downhill, and I was about 200 yards out. So I took my six iron and I aimed right at the electrical tower because that was the line. I said, "There's no way I'm going to hit this thing. I'm just going to aim at it. And if I hit that line, I'll go around it. I'll go left of it. Whatever." I'm going to be right down there somewhere around the green. I hit the best six iron of the day, drew it right into the thing. Ba-boom, boom, 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 that aluminum sound. You could hear it. The ball went 40 yards behind me over my head.
Well, one of the local rules, Pons, did you look at the back of the scorecard?
No, I didn't. I don't think hitting an electrical tower when you're on the wrong fairway would be covered in the local rules.
Speaking of, I hit the one on 17 at Cranston.
Oh, that's, you know, brutal. Yeah, that par five.
I absolutely destroyed one of the lines, right? And it just makes this whoo noise. Like, I swear to God, it lit like somebody's house on fire. It just made this violent noise.
Yeah. This wasn't like, it was just a white tower. It almost looked like a flagpole, but it wasn't. I don't know if it was like a lightning rod or something. It was a weird thing, but I nailed it. We were behind this bachelor party, three groups that were so slow. It was awful.
Here we go. Hats on backwards.
A couple of them.
Because that's what you want when you're a member at Metacomet, is to have to be following a bachelor party. Probably play once every 5 years.
They played the blacks for some reason.
Of course, yeah. And they're probably loaded already, right?
Two guys whiffed on the first tee.
And they're playing the blacks.
I'm just looking at myself like, this is awful. It took us like 5.5 hours. We finished in the dark. But
did you really?
Yeah.
Because I was laying out by the pool, and I kept looking at the clock, and I said, oh, he's probably making a turn now. He's probably on 16.
It was 5 o'clock at the turn. We went at 2:30, and we made the turn at 5 o'clock to 10. And then the back nine we played in 2 hours. We finished at 7, right at 7.
No rain, no marshals.
They don't care.
Can you get that group in front of us moving along a little bit?
They're closing in 3 days. At the turn we went in, we're like, these guys in front of us are really slow. They're like, what do you want us to do? I mean, I don't blame. What are they going to do? Those guys, they all paid their money, whatever. They weren't being like jerks or anything. They just had no clue.
Yeah.
Just had no clue. But it was fun. I'm glad I played. I shot 41 on the back. That's pretty good.
Oh, did you want to tell me about the front?
A 47 on the front.
Okay, so you came in under 90.
Yeah, I was happy with that. I made like four pars on the back. That was good. I didn't make any pars on the front. Couple three putts on the front. I couldn't get the greens. They were tough. The greens were definitely tricky.
So do you wish you played it before?
I would have liked to play it once a year. It would be a nice once a year place to play, special occasion.
How much is membership there? Do you have a clue?
I don't. I'm guessing it's in the $6,000 to $7,000 range.
A year.
Yeah. But I don't know. They'd be probably pretty cheap now since there's only 3 days left that it'll be open. I don't know. It was nice. It's sad to see it go. I hope something changes. I saw an article today saying like the developers looking to like back out of the way they want to change the zoning. So maybe something will happen. Maybe it'll get stuck as a golf course after all. We'll see. There's signs all around to keep Metacomet green. A lot of like local.
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video like a week or two ago.
It's tough. I mean, if they're losing money and the people that own it can sell it, it's all about capitalism, right?
Oh yeah, you got it. Yeah, you can't. You just can't have something that just keeps losing.
But to zone it, like to change the zoning and have a big like complex in the middle of a residential is not great either for the residents there. I don't know. You can't force them to keep it a golf course if it's losing money.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Looks like it's closing, though.
Would you put it on, like, your list of, like, favorites, or did it not make it?
It's hard to say only playing it once, to be honest. I liked it a lot, but, you know, it's one of the better places I played because I don't play that many private courses.
Now, did it still feel private? You think?
Oh, yeah. Kept the shape was a great shape.
So they did keep it true just because the public's playing. They didn't let it go a little bit.
No, you could tell. I mean, those greens, if you putted those greens, you would know it's a private.
And course. The fairways and tee boxes were in great shape.
Most of them. Some of the tee, like the ladies' tee boxes were bad.
Okay.
And a couple fairways had some like some damage, but nothing too bad. In general, it was in really good shape.
Did you do any ball, good swing?
Oh, yeah, a lot of that going on.
Did you do any of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
Sure.
This is from Jack's Abbey. It's the Copper Legend Oktoberfest. Jack's Abbey out of Framingham, Massachusetts.
Of course, right.
Framingham, Oktoberfest, and this is a...
Isn't that where Lou Maloney's from, Framingham?
Yes, it is. Framingham, Lou Maloney. Yeah. Jack's Abbey's Copper Legend Oktoberfest. It is a 5.7 alcohol by volume. One sip, everybody knows the rules. It's a good malty beer, just how I like it. You get the little bitterness, but you also get like the caramel notes, the nutty flavor. I like a malty Oktoberfest. I do like Oktoberfest beers, Bill. One sip, everybody knows the rules. Copper Legend. I'm going to go 7.3 on this one.
Whoa, 7.3.
Good score. Like that. I like this one. It's good. Do you have any thoughts here? Should we
Before we head to break, I just wanted to ask you, you were out there walking, right? You don't have a push cart?
No, I carried.
Would that ever be a consideration,
push cart? I like carrying. I don't like the push cart. Metacomet, very hilly.
Yes, it is. I looped there once.
Very hilly.
Yes,
it is. I would imagine push cart would not be fun on the hills.
Okay.
So a place like that.
And my second question is, we're getting into the autumn months, Billy. Were the colors pretty out there?
Not yet. It wasn't. Not too much has changed, I will say.
Okay.
So I'll keep you updated. The foliage update. Maybe next week we'll talk about that.
I hit that one right down the middle, Ponds. I can't find my ball. It's going to be on under one of these leaves. I'm going to drop and not take a stroke.
Quickly, the 18th hole, it was pitch dark. You couldn't see. So
was it the one where you all standing behind each other praying that you can see the tee shot?
Yeah, so we're all looking, and she goes, just hit it straight. So I get up. I hit it. It felt good.
But you had no clue.
I said, I have no idea. I couldn't see it. I said, it could be in the parking lot. It could be on the previous hole. It could be right down the middle. Turns out it was literally like if you drew a line down the middle of the fairway, it was right on the middle. And then I hit, that's a short hole downhill. I had like 110 in and I hit my little gap wedge. And again, I couldn't see it. It felt good. I got up. It was just short of the green, dead straight. So I hit two straight shots in the pitch dark and I was able to find them, which is nice.
Did you finish with the par?
Nah, I missed I left the putt short. Chipped it up to about 6 feet and left it short. Uphill, a little getting dewy at the end of the day. Slower putt. Would have been nice to finish with a par, I will say.
Yes, it would have been, Pods.
But I'll use the darkness as an excuse. Let's hit that first break. We'll be right back.
Okay, sounds good.
We are back from break, episode number 342 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. This week we're going to talk some Walt Disney World news. That break song was performed by the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, Bill. Could you tell?
Yes, I could.
It just sounded so nice, doesn't it?
It's crisp.
Do you like that song, The Entertainer? That's one of my favorite little... Yeah, like every time song. I hear it, I get upbeat. Do you like that movie, The Sting? Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's a good movie. I think you'd like it. Paul Newman. Okay. We digress. We should talk some news. Do you want to talk the big news first or save it for the end? Because it's going to be a lot to discuss.
Save it for the end.
All right. So you forwarded me an email today from Walt Disney World to you with an update on your annual pass. But it says, as some of our most loyal and passionate guests, we thank you for being a part of the annual pass holder family. We truly appreciate your patience over the past several months as we took the necessary steps to responsibly reopen our theme parks. We want to let you know that due to the current closure of Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon, we will be automatically issuing Platinum Plus annual pass holders with water park access a partial refund, which that's you, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The refund amount is based on the price difference between the price you paid for your Platinum and the price of for the Platinum Plus and the Platinum, prorated by the number of days left on your pass prior to water park reopening. You can learn more details how they're calculated here. So basically, you're paying you'll pay the same as the regular pass, but you're only getting the same benefits as the regular pass anyway because the water parks have been closed.
Correct.
I guess you could still play Oak Trail, I suppose.
Yes. Yep.
So that's nice. For those on the annual pass monthly payment program, please note you will receive a lump sum refund as noted above. However, ongoing monthly payments will not change. So they're going to give you a big, well, not big, but they're going to give you a refund for the total. But then you're still going to pay the same, and then they'll just give you another refund whenever the parks reopen? The water parks? Is that the...
They're not supposed to reopen until March now, of 2021.
Oh, so are they prorating you based on that?
I believe so, but who knows?
That's true.
Because they don't know if both are going to open or just one.
So it says refunds to the original form of payment can be expected by late October through early November. If original form of payment's not available, get a check by late November. Your pass will still include admission to Oak Trail. And if Disney Water Parks reopen before your pass expires, you can visit them too. Platinum Plus renewals are not available at this time, but you will have the ability to select from a variety of passes once it's time for your pass renewal. So when you just renewed, what did you renew at?
At the highest level.
So that's now you couldn't?
Now you can't, correct.
So if you, I wonder, so if you wanted to renew, they wouldn't let you at the higher level, so you could not play Oak Trail for free at this point?
Interesting. Yeah, sounds that right.
I wonder how that would go. I'm sure if you put up a stink, they'd probably just let you play.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. Thank you for your patience and understanding. So, I mean, they had to do that. They couldn't just keep taking your money, extra money.
No.
Offering those benefits. It's bad enough that you can't even get into the parks at this point. But
right.
At least they did that. I mean, we had talked about that they were going to do something at some point. They had to. But it's good to see that they did it, and you'll get that payment back. Now, $100 a year difference total?
Very minimal.
So you'll get maybe $75, $100 back each or something? From March until now?
You probably, yeah.
Less than $10 a month, right? Each? I can't remember. We could look it up at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. The difference isn't that much.
But it's the right thing to do, so absolutely. I'm glad you're doing it. You almost didn't renew, but then you changed your mind. Are you still glad
no,
you renewed?
No, because I renewed early because my expiration date was right when they were closing.
Yeah, but didn't they put like a moratorium on having to renew it? Didn't they like hold it off or you had to decide?
You did have to decide.
Oh, you did, but they weren't taking payments, right?
Right.
Okay, so you said yes, and then they weren't going to take payments until the park reopened. Okay.
Yes, correct.
So you basically had time to. You could have canceled in the meantime.
Yeah.
After the fact, without getting
even after payment, even after they opened, they still gave you an opportunity to cancel.
Okay, but That's good. And then you have some tickets lined up, but you didn't go, right, because the weather was bad?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, that was it was just rainy. It was when those systems the were out in the Gulf.
Yeah. Do you have anything else planned?
I have nothing booked right now.
No.
Nope.
Any sights on it? Looks like they're getting it's starting to get busier, it seems.
Nah, I don't know. They're starting to open up some more dates are available.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now they have the go ahead to open at full capacity, right?
That came down Friday.
Yeah, Friday, but we'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to jump right into that.
I don't either.
At this point. I mean, they came out and said that they're still requiring masks, but they didn't say anything about like restaurant capacities and things like that. I think it's a self. Yeah.
Oh, because here the restaurant is 100% no.
Right. I'm saying, but Disney may not do it.
Right. Right.
But I don't think it's something they're going to have to really keep reduced capacity. I think it's going to be like the market's going to dictate.
Mm-hmm.
If they just said tomorrow, yeah, we're going to be opening up at full capacity, I don't think they'd have, you know, 70,000 people waiting to get into the Magic Kingdom. So I think they could say they could probably do whatever they want, and they're probably going to have the same amount of guests that are going now, maybe a little more, but I don't think it would change too much.
I don't either.
Anyway, so you also sent me a link here again with the annual passes that's saying that right now on Shop Disney, the app or the website, annual pass holders are getting 30% off, which is
wow,
very big.
Wow.
So you could get a discount. Did you know you can get a Mickey or Minnie plush for a discount with another purchase online right now? Annual pass holders, blah, blah, blah. Right now, they can get 30% off select Disney Parks merchandise on Shop Disney. Available through October 11th. So for a few weeks. To get discount, make sure your annual pass is linked to your Disney account and use the code AP30OFF at checkout. So that's interesting. Is that something you'll peruse with that discount on the website?
I tried a couple of products and I didn't get my discount, so I said screw this.
Oh, they weren't eligible.
I don't know if they weren't. They just when I went to check out, because even like when I typed in the code,
yeah,
I put the code and then down below it said AP 30% off, blah blah blah. So then I clicked checkout and I didn't see a discount. So
That's bizarre.
Might be a glitch. You
think with the, ate the computer.
Oops, somebody ate the page. Yeah. Yeah, I tried like two or three items and I didn't get discounts. So I said, yeah, go figure.
That's how it goes sometimes.
There's probably like one product. People are going to get all excited. They're going to go in there, go pay in full, not realizing that they didn't get their 30%.
That's true. It just says select Disney Parks merchandise.
Well, yeah, so what does that mean?
Well, it can't be just like the regular stuff. It has to be Disney Parks. So I don't know what I don't know. I'd have to look, and I don't have an AP link, so I wouldn't even be able to see what things are eligible. So what's this last thing you sent me? Some updated resort reopening dates? Is that what we're looking at here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says currently the hotels that are open and accepting new reservations are Bay Lake Tower, Boulder Ridge, Copper Creek, Animal Kingdom Villas at Kidani Village, Beach Club, Boardwalk, all the DVC places have been and had to be. Caribbean Beach, not a DVC. Contemporary, the resort. Fort Wilderness, which has been open basically the whole time. Grand Floridian now open. Old Key West, obviously, Polynesian. Villas and bungalows only. Pop Century, Riviera, Saratoga Springs, Yacht Club, and the villas at the Grand Floridian, which had been open the whole time. In addition to that, Coronado Springs is coming online October 14th. Art of Animation is coming online November 1st. And the Polynesian, which is currently undergoing a refurb, won't be available till summer 2021, which we touched upon a few weeks ago. While reopening dates were previously shared for Beach Club Resort and the Boardwalk, these hotels will remain closed until further notice. So the Beach Club, only the villas, same thing with the Boardwalk, but the regular rooms are not available. So we'll see as it goes. They will keep changing it. So for the most part, all the DVCs and a couple of each level otherwise. Because you notice, like, Port Orleans still not open. Neither Port Orleans.
Right.
None of the All-Stars.
I wonder why that. I wonder why that is.
Why those specific ones?
No, why the All-Stars? Do you think they're not getting the ghetto families? Are they just not coming?
I don't know if it has anything to do with that.
Look at your face. You're like, did he just say that?
I don't know if it has much to do with that. I imagine they only need one value open, and that one's on the Skyliner, so that's probably why they chose that. I don't know. I have no idea why.
Music's my favorite one, Pods. I'm going to stop listening to your podcast.
Yeah, well, don't worry. We already lost our sensitive listeners. I don't know, like, why Caribbean Beach instead of Port, why not both Port Orleans instead of having Coronado and Caribbean open? Just to spread people out, maybe? Maybe because of the buses, they don't have to run as many buses over to the Pop because of the Skyliner, as opposed to the All-Stars, where they'd have to run buses.
So you think that's the reason why Pop's open?
That would be my guess, but I have no idea.
Because Out of Animation is what, November or something?
November 1st, yeah.
Okay.
So that makes sense to be the next one on.
So the two values they're going to keep are going to be the Skyliner values.
Skyliner and then
Caribbean Beach.
Caribbean Beach also
is the Skyliner.
Just helps with transportation. I feel like that's probably their easiest social distance transportation they have is the Skyliner, right?
Yeah.
One family gets one
family
gondola.
Per car. Yeah.
So I imagine that might have something to do with it. All right. And last but not least, I'm going
to
pull this
You didn't up. Want to discuss the All-Stars anymore?
We can talk about it. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say.
No.
I got apps opening up. What's going on here? I sent you that picture, but you had already seen it. However, unfortunately, today we found out on Facebook, Twitter, social media, the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra posted on their social media, I'll read it verbatim. It's hard to find the words, but sadly, our days at the Grand Floridian are over. Sweet and to the point. In fact, as of October 3rd, 2020, our days at Walt Disney World will come to an end as well. The company brought us out of furlough, changed our name to the Disney Society Orchestra, closed us out of the Grand Floridian to play a show at Disney-themed tunes at the Theater of the Stars in Hollywood Studios. We've been playing 9 shows a day, 7 days a week since August 2nd. The music is a far cry from the closely knit harmonies and sounds we became known for at the Grand Floridian, but the guys are real pros and they sound great. Well, 2 weeks ago, we got notice that the theater is going dark and our last day of work will be Saturday, October 3rd, 2020. As we all know, these are very uncertain times and can't say what will happen from one day to the next. So after 32 years of playing together and playing music we love, we're done. We're so thankful for the opportunity to play in a beautiful setting for the hotel guests and friends we have met and made over the years. We'll never forget you and how wonderful you've made us feel. We will miss you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Doesn't that just break your heart?
It's awful.
Like, you probably have, what, 400 years of music experience among them that the society. And like you said, they're just pros. They're all so good.
Mm-hmm.
So crisp. It was perfect in that lobby where they were.
So engaging. They talk to everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. They're just so nice and friendly.
Very approachable.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like so many people have good memories of just talking with the members of the band, you yourself included.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, lots of other people. You'll see if you go on Facebook and Twitter, you could see a lot of people posting their personal stories about how much they love the orchestra and everything. And it just stinks. I mean, it was pretty obvious when they removed the grandstand. We talked about a couple weeks ago that was the next step. They had them playing in Hollywood Studios. We just surmised they were just playing out their string on their contract. And that's exactly what it ended up being. So as of, what, a week from when the show comes out, October 3rd, that's their last show.
Did you say Saturday?
Saturday, October 3rd, yeah. That'll be a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of making a trip up to watch them perform one more time?
I can't get in.
Oh, really? Oh, because Hollywood Studios is tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I bet a lot of people will go to watch them their final days. People like that. People really did enjoy the Griff Radio. And it didn't really come out of nowhere. I mean, as soon as they put the stupid Beauty and the Beast bar in the Grand Floridian, you knew their days were numbered. They had no place there. They were just like the redheaded stepchild at that point. Is it cost cut? I mean, they can't be so short-sighted to just do it as a cost-cutting measure, are they?
I don't know.
Is that all it is?
Do you think they're that clueless?
I don't know. I can't figure out. There's no real good way to explain it. It's like, what? I understand that things like that, you can't like put them on a balance book and say it's bringing in this amount. You know, it costs this amount and it's bringing in this amount, blah, blah, blah. You got to kind of like balance that Excel spreadsheet and figure out the red and the black numbers. But this one just doesn't make sense. It's just a guest experience. That's what they built their, they built this company. They built the whole resort on the guest experience.
Right.
And they're turning their back on it. It means nothing anymore. It's like a middle finger to the guest, in my opinion. What makes the Grand Floridian special now?
The nothing.
Walking into that lobby.
Nothing, not a thing.
Not anymore. The bar is gone. The unique shops that were over there are gone. You know, they got, the restaurants are good. With nothing wrong with the restaurants, but,
and it's funny because you talk about the unique shops. That's what made that place stand out.
Of course.
Because it wasn't a stupid gift shop that just sold Mickey pajamas.
No, they had the men's shop,
the woman shop downstairs,
the
soap
shop, the women's shop, all the different things. And they just, to hell with it. Just get rid of it all.
Had the salon where you got your hair cut.
Yeah. Now that's for the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or whatever. It's all about just whatever
permanently close?
I thought that was still there last time.
Yeah, it is still there. I don't know if it's open right now, though. But
yeah, I don't know that.
It's still there.
But a lot of it is just, it's like, okay, so we closed the shop to make the bar bigger.
I'm fine with that.
Which I understand. That bar needed to be bigger, but it didn't need to be rethemed to Beauty and the Beast. To be like this themed, you know, it's nice to have a quiet bar where you can just sit down,
which talk was to the bartender and Meisner's have a drink. Was.
Right, but you could have made Meisner's bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been fine. I wouldn't have had a problem with that. We're expanding Meisner's. We're going to have more food options, a bigger bar, be able to accommodate more guests. But now they just changed this whole experience where everything has to be this tie into something, and it has to have this, you know, I don't know, just a way to upcharge people. What is it? Like, it doesn't make sense. And they couldn't have found a spot for them, if not in the Grand Floridian somewhere, to keep them, you know, such a valuable asset, such talented musicians, to keep them employed with the company, give them something to do. You know, what's next? Are they going to axe Mariachi Cobra? They've been with the company for 50 years. They started in Disneyland. You know what I mean? They just kind of get rid of those guys in the Mexico Pavilion. We pay them. What are they adding, right?
Yeah.
Just all live performers are going to be gone. It's going to have college kids that could put on a Mickey head or that look like a princess so they could do breakfast that they could charge people $55 for a crappy breakfast buffet. It's so disheartening when they do these little things. It's like death by a thousand paper cuts for the fans, but it's going to be their own undoing, though, I feel like.
Yeah, because I'm reading the comments and people are really bent out of shape over this one.
But it's all the rubes like us. It's all the people that are on the Twitter, on Facebook. Like, how many people follow them on Facebook? But a lot.
Rubes like us, but you've never spent a dime there other than on food.
Right.
You've never stayed there. But I'm reading people who have stayed there in club level. Mm-hmm. And they say the only reason they stay there at club level is so that they can sit and have a glass of wine and listen to the band.
However, that just means they'll stay club level at a different resort. You know what I mean? Those are the people that they're like, all right, well, we'll just go to Boardwalk then. It's like, that doesn't really hurt Disney. They'll fill those rooms. people were. It's our drug though for people like us.
Yeah, but I don't know.
We're still itching. They keep taking and taking.
Are you itching like you were like you were a year or two ago though?
I'm dying to go back.
Are you really?
Yeah, now I'm like getting real bad. Like I need to get there. I want to figure out a way. You were talking about the virtual gentleman's trip, and I'm like, I kind of just want to go and play golf. I can't. I wouldn't be allowed by my state to go to Florida. My job. Yeah,
you got to get a permission slip. Yeah. And...
But you know what? I wouldn't do it now anyway, just personally, but I would like to. I don't know. It's just so... I don't know. They just take away. And like,
do you think these are all permanent?
I mean, how are they going to hire these guys back?
Do you think it has to do with the...
How many musicians are there? 30,
with COVID, 40, though?
I think it's an excuse. I think they're using COVID as the excuse to do it. Because they're not going to get... Well, they're going to get criticized, but...
But do you
they
think...
They feel like they're not going to get criticized doing it in this time. It's like, well, it's something we have to do.
Do you think, though, for a while that they wouldn't be able to perform there because they don't want gatherings?
I guess. But they had them at Hollywood Studios. Why'd they do that? Why were they having them perform in a theater? I don't know. It stinks. I really hate it. I hate that we've talked about that three times this year. About this, the orchestra. Now, finally, that's the nail in the coffin officially.
Because at first it was like, nah, that ain't going to happen.
Like, we kind of joked about it.
What's next? The orchestra?
Yeah. Then they moved him into the corner, and you're like, that's a bad sign. Then they took the stage out. That's a real bad sign. And now it's just like, cut the throat. But it's been happening, though. They get rid of, like we talked about, the mulch, sweat, and shears. They get rid of Barutica. They get rid of this. They get rid of that. They get rid of the drummers in Japan. They get rid of, you know, the, I forget. There's so many different things. There's little England, things here and there.
The UK.
Yeah, there you go. They get rid of that. They got rid of the guys in Canada that everyone really liked that were there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of them, and just one by one, they just dropped off, and you know they didn't see any effect of it, and they're still not going to really see an effect. It's just goofballs like us. People have never been there, which is their bread and butter, the first timers. They're not going to know they're missing the orchestra when they go, right? Like, what do they care? These first-timers don't know what they're missing. We'll give them a crappy experience. They're still going to think it's great.
They know it's going to be their tie-in to continue to come back, to come back, to come back.
They're too short-sighted, I guess. That's the thing. I don't think they care if they come back anymore.
You think they get enough first-timers?
They must know. There must be an equation, and I'm sure it's probably true that people who go for the first time spend X amount more than return visitors. You know what I mean? So like if I'm, you know, Joe Schmo planning my first ever Disney vacation, my once in a lifetime vacation, I spend on average $8,000 on my family vacation. Whereas repeat visitors, the Willings from Minnesota, they spend an average of $4,300. So we spend twice as much, you know, those repeat visitors spend half as much as the one time, the first time visitors. So we're going to just
repeat visitors come two or three times a year.
But they feel like they have them regardless. Until those repeat visitors start petering off, they don't care. They're just going to cater to the first timers, and the first timers don't know what they're missing. They survey those first timers, and they want more thrill rides. They want more Marvel characters in the parks. That's what they found out, you know. That's why we're getting Guardians of the Galaxy in Epcot. They don't care about you and I loving the show in the Canada Pavilion. They care about the first time. Oh, what's going to make you come back? What made you come? Oh, we want to go on Space Mountain. We like the roller coasters. Oh, we'll put in more roller coasters. They're turning their backs on what got them to where they are now, where people want to go. And they're turning themselves into Universal or to Six Flags. Just watering everything down, homogenizing everything, and just making it, you know, move from thrill ride to thrill ride.
Mm-hmm.
They don't build family attractions anymore. When's the last time they built a family attraction? Like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
like Living with the Land. When's the last time they built something like that? I guess you could say the Frozen one, but that was an overlay to an old ride.
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean, that was an existing attraction.
The Mickey and Minnie one, that brand new one where they got rid of the Great Movie Ride. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I guess that would be considered, but I don't even know if that's really a, is that a family ride? I guess it's for all ages, I suppose. I don't know. Like even the Star Wars stuff isn't for kids. Like that's, those aren't family rides.
Right.
Like I'm not taking my 3-year-old on the Rise of the Resistance. I don't even know. There must be height requirements on that. Avatar, like the little boat ride. Okay. That's cute. But like the main ride, there's just a big thrill ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the Toy Story Land, they built two rides in Toy Story Land and they both have height restrictions. The Swirling Saucers and the roller coaster.
Yep.
For a kid's land, they have rides with height restrictions. Like it's mind-boggling the stuff they're doing. And it's just like, but they're printing money. They have a license to print money. And right now with COVID, obviously that's changed the equation. So now we're going to see them get even cheaper. They're going to tighten the purse strings even more.
Oh yeah.
This could just be, you know, I mean, what are the, I don't think they will have to, pardon the pun, resort to closing a hotel, but if they were like thinking of getting rid of one, now would be the time, right? Just get rid of a hotel. Just cut it out, knock it down, put a meet and greet there. I mean, the hotels make too much money and they're always booked out, so I don't think they would have to do that, but all bets are off at this point. All bets are off. It's just so frustrating. Why do we talk about it, Billy?
I know.
I think we should just change our podcast. We'll just talk golf and beer and stupid stuff. If Disney comes up, it comes up. We'll just talk stupid stuff.
I mean, now is anyway. When I saw that, I'm like, that can't be real.
So sad, isn't it?
That's like, I mean, that's the experience there.
It's like, yeah, we're going to get rid of the Dapper Dans on Main Street. Okay, why? Oh, they don't add anything. What good is that? We're going to get rid of the Flag Retreat. That doesn't add any value. You know?
Yeah, or the raising of the flag at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. We're going to get rid of this. We're going to get rid of that. We're going to get rid of this. We just want you moving from attraction to attraction, from gift shop to gift shop. That's it. We don't want you stopping anywhere and enjoying yourselves where you're not spending money. That's not good for us. Eventually, people are going to catch on. If it keeps going that direction, people are going to feel taken advantage of. You know what I mean? The value that you say, you're gladly pay $150 to get into one of these parks for one day. But now if you go in to Epcot, and all the entertainment in World Showcase is gone, and you walk around World Showcase, and you don't stop for anything, guess what? World Showcase doesn't take you that long to get through if you just walk through and there's no entertainment going on. And then there's three attractions in all World Showcase. So you go through, you do the little attractions, you move on, and now
and you say,
well, what am I going to, why am I spending 100 some odd dollars to come to this park? There's nothing
You know what I find interesting? Is you look at the band in Mexico and you look at the band in the UK and you look mm-hmm. at Canada and the drummers in Japan. What does everybody do when they stop to see? They get a drink. They get one of those overpriced $20 margaritas.
Sure, of course.
And then they go and they watch the band.
And the band in Mexico plays right in front of that little gift shop. So the kids are looking at the stupid sombrero. Oh, I need a sombrero. I need a maraca. You know, they're getting all the stuff. And
when you see the time for the British Revolution. What do? You get a pint to go.
You go over at Rose and Crown, get a pint.
And you go watch the British Revolution. Now, what's the reason and now to get a $15 Bud Light?
Just to grab it so you can walk to the next drink
stand? Just to walk around?
Yeah.
There's no reason to.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, because when we were in Epcot last year and we stopped, we watched that band in Germany, that little like polka band. I think I stopped to get a beer and we just sat and watched them.
Yeah, and then I forgot what you and Doug were doing, but me and Mike watched the mariachi band, and he got a margarita.
Right.
We had like a fast pass to Test Track or something, and you and Doug were either like at a booth for
like a food or something.
Yeah. Me and Mike just went over and watched the band, and he got a margarita. Sure. He's not going to get a $20 margarita just for the sake of it.
Just to stop and keep walking to Test Track.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, of course not. It's short-sighted. And at some point, people, like I said, people are going to feel taken advantage of, and then that's when they'll stop going. Because right now, when people go, they feel like, I got my money's worth. It was a lot of money, but we had fun. I created memories. But what created those memories? Stopping to watch one of those bands perform. Sitting down in the Grand Floridian lobby and listening to the music. Your kids are running around, and you know, you're sitting on one of the couches, and all of a sudden they go into one of the Disney songs. Oh, that's from Beauty and the Beast, and your kids like the song because it's from the Disney movie.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do at Christmas now?
Well, like you said, they'll just get some local high school choirs and stick them in there, and people will buy the hot chocolate and they'll have their fun, and it's just gonna be still gonna be missing. I don't know.
Because I can't wait to book for Knockhoosies now.
Yeah, I mean, you have
so there's no band for me to listen to.
Right. You might as well. Well, maybe I'll go to the Swan and Dolphin. And we'll go to there. The restaurants are better there. The
restaurants are better.
Because if you're not getting the entertainment, like you're cheaper. The whole point of going to Knockhoosies is that you spend a couple hours at the Grand Floridian. You like go to Meisner's, get a drink, listen to the orchestra. Now all that's gone. It's like, go to the restaurant and get the heck out. But at that point, you might as well go to Flying Fish or Blue Zoo, rather.
Yeah.
You know, if you want seafood, go to Blue Zoo. It's probably better food.
You want Italian, go to Il Molino.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It stinks. It's just no fun. I hate feeling this way. But they don't give us much choice, do they?
No, because they don't replace it with anything.
That's it. That's a good point. We haven't even said that.
They don't replace it.
Right.
They don't say, we're going to do this, but we're going to do this in return.
Yeah, exactly. Nope. It's just gone. And they're quiet and sneaky about it. If the orchestra themselves didn't come out, they weren't going to put a press release out and saying,
I know. Isn't that fantastic?
32 years of being there. Basically, since it opened, right? It opened in what, 86? So that's almost the whole time it's 87. So basically, from the beginning, it's been there.
I'm sorry, 88, because I was 15 exactly. When I was
so then it is. Yeah. So they were there from the beginning.
They were there from day one. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and the hell with them.
With my old man back in the days when you could smoke, he'd be having a heater sitting on one of those couches drinking a Bud Light. It was fantastic listening to the band.
That's funny. I'm just trying to imagine someone lighting up a cigarette in the Grand Floridian lobby right now. They'd get shot in the head.
Oh, my God. That's great, isn't it?
That is funny.
I had ashtrays on those tables.
I'm not saying he did anything wrong. It's funny to think of now, 30 years later, how much has changed. I don't know.
Yeah, so what memory would you have now? What memory is a 15-year-old Mike going to have now at the Grand Floridian?
You wouldn't hang out in the lobby.
No.
You just wouldn't be there. He wouldn't just be there. You wouldn't be there. That's what I mean. It's short-sighted because now, you know, when you're in the lobby, you say, "Hey, give me $5 so I can go play in the arcade," or "Can I get this hat at the gift shop that you could see while you're sitting?" And they're going to lose out on all that little stuff. On top of it, which you mentioned, like you go from place to place, you get a drink, you listen to the band, so you're sitting in the lobby.
That little sundries place that's in the bottom. Part of the lobby, and all they do is sell sauce and cigars.
Right.
Who the hell's going to buy stuff out of there now?
Right.
I'm buying $9 Bud Light just to bring up to your room?
Nope. Yeah, and like I said, like you got the 6-year-old kid, you're trying to relax, listen to the orchestra, and they want, you know, an ice cream. You go into the shop, you buy a little ice cream for them, or you get them a toy from the shop to keep them quiet so you can listen to the orchestra. Now they're going to say, oh, I want this. No, we'll just go back to the room. We'll go back to the room. Forget it. Oh, short-sighted.
And all these other beautiful hotels with grandiose lobbies, they have stuff there for you. And what's this $800 a night dump have for you now?
I like how now it's a dump.
That's right. I said it. Dump.
So it's not
a dump.
It's not at the top of your list anymore?
No. Place can go screw itself.
Oh, breaking news.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we'll get a group message from Mike. I can get the Grand Floridian Villas for $149 a night.
I haven't ruled out the DVC. You can get those for relatively cheap.
I'm sure you can.
No.
It's a dump.
Well, it's we'll a dump now.
Well, let's hear from our friends at the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra one more time. This won't be the last time we hear from them on this show, for sure. I love playing their Christmas CD.
We always fire that up. We'll play it for the entire month of
in December on the show. Yeah, we always do. But we'll hear one now, and we'll take our second break. Back for break. This is episode number 342 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. And again, we're just
putting on that. I love that performance, don't you?
Oh, yeah. When they all yell it, too.
Ah, it's so good.
They're so good. Then they're gone. The hell with them. The hell with you. The hell with me. Uh-huh. The hell with Frank, the hell with Sue, everyone who likes sitting in there.
That's right.
Listening to the hell with you. That's what Disney's saying.
Screw you.
You're coming anyway. We got your money. You're suckers. The hell with you. That's what they're telling you. I mean, what other way can you look at it? They're not saying we're temporarily suspending the orchestra due to COVID concerns. We don't want people gathering in the lobby listening to the music. They're not saying that. They're saying, you guys are fired, hit the bricks, and screw you, loyal fans. That's what it is. Sorry. That's too bad. That's just the reality.
Like that old guy, Richard. Mm-hmm. The guy who passed away a few years ago.
Yeah, they probably would have fired him this year if he didn't.
They would have fired him this year. Could you imagine? They were paying that guy minimum wage. He was just so happy to be out and about talking to people. Yeah. What do we need this old guy for? Saying hi to people as they come in to check in. Screw him.
You're gone. Hit the bricks. Give him a pink slip.
Richard, we'll pay 10% of your medical. That's about it. Get the hell out of here, you old dud.
Here's information on Cobra.
Here's your Cobra information.
Oh, it's so stupid. It's not funny, really.
There's a lot of truth, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I don't know. I have nothing else here. Do you have anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you for listening. You know where you can find us on the web at WDWBTG.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at WDWBTG. We are now on Spotify, Bill.
Okay.
Search for WDW Beyond the Gates on Spotify. You can find our podcast there on TuneIn, on Stitcher, on Amazon. Amazon has a new podcast service. We're on Amazon Podcast somehow. I guess you can tell Alexa to play us or something. I don't know how that works, but we're on
Alexa,
there.
Play WDW Beyond the Gates podcast.
We're everywhere. I'm pretty sure. I don't think there's any that we're not on that where podcasts are. Like I said, Apple Podcasts, Google, all the good places. Find us there, subscribe, leave reviews, do all that good stuff. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gate, subscribe, give us thumbs up on the videos you watch. We do appreciate that. Leave a comment if you can. What else? Am I forgetting anything? Our emails, info@WDWBTG.com, Mike@WDWBTG.com, and Gary@WDWBTG.com. That's it for today, good job, I think. Billy. Thank you. Thank you for listening to episode number 342 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? because we like you.
M-O-R-E.